We want to, our subject as announced is fatherly counsel. And, we open with hymn 54, this blessed Bible, precious word, boon, most sacred from the Lord. And a boon is a benefit, a thing to be thankful for, a blessing. And, so boon most sacred from the Lord. Glory to his name be given for this choicest gift from heaven. 'Tis a fountain pouring forth streams of life to gladden earth. Whence eternal blessings flow, antidote for human woe. Yes, blessed Bible, precious word. And we're going to focus on the antidote of our text. And we wanted to draw attention to this as it's his word that we receive this antidote from, that we receive counsel from. Our discourse focuses on Psalms 73:24, which reads, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." This text came to us from a card of comfort and consolation. The text also brought to mind a conversation that we had with Brother Don Bryan many years ago. And I don't remember all the details, but it had to do with an experience that we were going through at the time. And Brother Don's immediate response was, "Well, let's see if there's a scripture that can help us with that." And I thought, how come I didn't think of that? And it's just that his immediate response, I don't remember what the lesson of the experience, but I remembered that. And that meant so much to me. So the lesson was that no matter what the experience, we should immediately consult with our Heavenly Father through his word and his counsel. Now, growing up, we recognized our parents as our immediate counselors. Our parents provided the greatest influence in our lives and assisted us in guiding us through school and helped provide direction in the choice of our career. Whether by example, knowledge, or experience. By definition, a counselor is any person who gives advice, but properly one who is authorized by a natural relationship or by birth, office, or profession to advise one another in regard to his future conduct and measures. Well, like many of you, the first person I remember growing up having counselor as their official title was my high school guidance counselor. It was his responsibility to suggest, advise, or guide us to a future life or a career. Well, in my case, it was repeatedly suggested that I become a manual laborer. Today, guidance counselors play an important role in a high school student's life, since by that time, many at that age feel the number one job of their parents is to make their life miserable, especially in that 14, 18-year-old range. Then they later realize, especially when they have kids of their own, that they should have listened better to the advice that we gave them as parents. And now it's the same advice that they pass along to their children. So what goes around comes around. Today, our lives have become much more complex than it used to be. We're living, we're not living in the Little House on the Prairie. Some of you may have watched that show, TV series many years ago. Sister Sally used to say, "Oh, how nice it would have been to live back then in those times, when, for the most part, neighbors helped each other, people had respect for each other, and people took responsibility for their actions." I said, yes, in that way it was nice. But I reminded her that the people back then worked hard all day, every day, just to survive, just to survive, just to have a roof over their heads and food on their table for the whole year, for the whole year. Today, since our Lord's return, we've received a host of restitution blessings, so we don't have to work as hard. We know that the sweat of the brow is lifted. Since we're living in more complex times, we're finding a variety of counselors popping up, counselors for just about everything. There are legal, financial, medical, psychological, grief, marriage, parenting, exercise, nutrition, various addiction counselors, and the list goes on. There's hundreds. Everyone is specialized. There's an extreme amount of information and data available to deal with each of the many issues prevalent today. If anyone needed help with anything, help can be found. Sister Sally's mother, Sister Ellie Wojcik, made her change in 1985, about the time that another couple in our class back then lost their 13-year-old daughter to leukemia. One evening, they invited us to attend a short program on the grieving process held at the funeral home where they used for their daughter. In our case, our new creature rejoiced that Sister Ellie, if faithful, made her change. However, our flesh struggled with it, struggled with her not being there for us and with us, especially after her rather sudden and unexpected death. What we came to understand during this grief program that we attended is that all the crying, the emotions, struggles, denials, adjustments, and stages of grief that we were going through were normal. It wasn't an unusual experience. It was new to us. Knowing what to expect by itself helped us mentally deal with that whole grieving process. Note in our experience and example regarding Sister Ellie that we made a clear distinction between how our new creature rejoiced at her change, but our flesh suffered. While there are thousands of human counselors to fix various issues of the flesh to test their ability, there is only one counselor to develop, encourage, and strengthen our new creature, and that's our Heavenly Father. While recognizing the fallibility of all human counsel, we may find its counsel helpful and at times necessary, absolutely necessary for us. We must realize, however, that to some extent, selfishness still exists and should put us on guard, knowing that the counsel we receive may not be as reliable as we hope for. One of life's most important lessons is, again, recognizing our own weaknesses, our own lack of wisdom. After learning of God's love and mercy by providing our Lord, by providing our Lord for the forgiveness of our sins, and accepted of that, we desire to live our life according to the rules of justice. In doing so, we found more than ever we needed good counsel, counsel we could trust in. It was then we knew that we could go to our Heavenly Father's word for that counsel. The more we studied it, the more we found our Heavenly Father's wisdom, profitable not only with regard to our future, but our current present life. As time passed, we learned more and more of our own weaknesses and imperfections and more of the wisdom and grace of God. So our faith is strengthened and encouraged and developed to trust more and more in our Heavenly Father. Then we heard him calling or inviting us to a full consecration of ourselves to him, to a joint heirship with our Lord in God's kingdom. Then after finding the narrow way to the divine nature and glory, we became more than ever appreciative of the need for that Heavenly Father's counsel. We found that even the best earthly counsel is only as good as it's been directed by divine counsel. Then we learned that in every experience in life, we need to listen to the voice of our Heavenly Father through His Word, our fatherly counsel. When seeking and listening to His divine counsel through His Word, we should be careful not to misinterpret His Word, or what we often refer to as running ahead of the Lord, hastily letting self-will enter when trying hard to determine His will, as opposed to being patient, watching and praying to see what the Lord's providence may permit. We, that is my flesh and my new creature, could have co-authored a book entitled How to Run Ahead of the Lord and Get Nowhere. And that's why it's so important that our new creature takes full control of our flesh, so we can, without hesitation, wait patiently on Him, watch and pray to see and allow what the Lord's providence permits. Why? Because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. I'll share briefly a story that of an experience that we were going through at our job. This is many, many years ago. And we were going to the convention in St. Louis, and I was sharing the experience with Brother Perry Robinson. And I was really discouraged with the way things were going at work. And Brother Perry says, maybe the Lord doesn't want you to like your job. And it was like a 2x4 hit me right in the head. And I thought, well, of course not. If I loved my job, I would love Him less. And I tell you, when I went to work Monday morning, I was the happiest and most content guy there. It just completely, when your frame of mind changes, it's dramatic. When you look at it from the new creature vantage point, and that's how we should look at all of our experiences. We should look at them through the eyes of our new creature. If we look at them through the eyes of our flesh, we are going to be extremely discouraged, extremely discouraged. And it's like Brother Allen brought out, flesh is here, new creature is here. And it's really important to keep that in the forefront of our minds when we go through whatever it is we're experiencing. It's usually after stumbling through severe experiences of disappointment by following our own understanding that we may be led to by the Holy Spirit and lay hold upon God's counsel provided for us in His Word, the Bible. Remember our text in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, and that is so important, so important. Because we can't trust ourselves. We need our Heavenly Father's counsel. The adversary tries to keep us from understanding His Word and therefore misrepresents it as being contradictory. Remember, he's the master of deception. However, not falling for it, we seek grace to help at the throne of heavenly grace to be providentially led of the Lord to His Word. If we do fall into temptation or become deceived by some of the adversary's methods, the Heavenly Father will correct us with chastisements and or disappointments and providentially bring us back in contact with His Word at a time when our heart is ready to receive it. Our heart has to be ready to receive it, and we'll more than ever feel our need for our heavenly counsel. And how many of us have gone through an experience and then just everything's drained out of you, and you pray to the Heavenly Father, it's as though we're brought to a condition to make us realize how important it is to have that line of communication open with Him, and what a blessing it is that we have for all of us to have that relationship with the Heavenly Father. No one else on this planet has like we have. we shouldn't limit divine power to think that no other channel than the scriptures could be used in communicating between God and his people. We believe in divine providences and believe that there are means for bringing us into a condition where we can be taught of God from his word, but never to take the place of his word. We are continually encouraged to search the scriptures to know God's will and his counsel. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says that the written word is sufficient that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:5, it says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In harmony with this, our Lord prayed to the Father for the church, saying in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's for the same reason that the Bereans were commended in that they searched the scriptures daily, Acts 17:11. It's also for the same reason that the strongest and most faithful Christians have reverenced the Bible and went to it as the word of God when seeking divine counsel. This is the oracle of God. And as the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to this, his word, it is because there is no light in them. The prophet David says in Psalms 107:11-13, that some sit in darkness, that it is because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, have brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto their Lord in their trouble, and what did he do? He saved them out of their distresses. This is confirmed for us in Proverbs 1:25-30. Some reject the word of the Lord altogether. Others accept it to some extent, but never really accept its counsel in the sense of putting it into practice in their daily lives. And although these include the vast majority of Christians, they can all be classed together. The Apostle James calls attention to the difference between the hearer of the word and the doer of the word. In James 22-24. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. And then in Psalms 1:3, the Lord points out to us the blessedness of those who walk according to the divine law or counsel, and not according to the counsel of the ungodly, saying again in Psalms 1:3, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. His leaf, therefore, shall not wither, and the thing which he doth shall prosper. Our goal in life is to live acceptably to our Heavenly Father, and cultivate the character required of us, and thereby be fitted and prepared for the glory and the blessings promised to us. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:13-14 says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And all that do will prosper in the one thing they're doing and gain that prize set before us. Brethren, we must stay focused on making our calling and election sure. Even in our temporal issues, we can find great wisdom in our Lord's counsel. This is the lesson that Brother Don brought to our attention by drawing us to the scriptures, in the situation we were in. How often have we figured out years later that it would have been wise for us if we had looked to divine counsel, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. We're now going to look at just a few examples of divine counsel provided for us by our Heavenly Father in His Word. If you like, you may want to jot some down if they may apply to you, but we'll go through them. And if you're looking for counsel in these particular areas. Have you ever been asked to co-sign for a loan and wish you hadn't? If you have, you may have saved yourself from a lot of grief had you consulted with our divine counselor first and noted not to be a surety for another. Or in Proverbs 11:15, he that is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it. It doesn't say he shall be smart for it. It says he shall smart for it, which means to be in pain, a sharp pain. How many of us have suffered financially by neglecting this advice from our great counselor? This is what's called tough love, especially when it comes to our children. And I'll share a quick story with you. Sorry, Sister Jennifer, if you're listening in, but, back in high school, Jenny was getting ready to, she had her driver's license. Wanted a car. So she said, "So Dad, what car are you going to buy for me?" And I said, "What?" She says, "Well, Bobby's dad bought him a new Mustang." I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "How much money do you have?" And I think at the time it was like $235. I said, "Tell you what, I'll match that." I'll tell you, the problem with that was that guess who fixed that junker? Talk about tough love. I don't know who thought it was tougher, her or me. So anyway, we had, it was a good lesson, and, and she appreciated the cars, I say several, because there were one after another junker, because they just finally gave it up. Nothing, however, in the thought of not being a surety for another implies selfishness. The counsel of the Lord is that His people should be generous. If you've ever wondered if it's wise to loan someone money, we're counseled in Luke 6:35 to do good and lend, hoping for nothing. Again, don't expect it in return. We may do good and lend according to our opportunities and abilities, but are not to obligate ourselves beyond what we would be willing to give. In other words, if you have the means and can help, do it. But again, expect nothing in return. What about needing a loan for yourself? I just can't make it on what I get paid. I'll just borrow money for whatever I need or want. How many of us would have found it wiser to have followed the Lord's counsel in Romans 13:8, which says, to owe no man anything but love? How many have suffered for many years trying to pay debts which should never have been acquired to begin with? I'm sure the Apostle Paul knew that bankers never follow the advice given to us in Luke 6:35 to lend, hoping for nothing in return. Right, Brother Len? We need to be careful not to spend beyond our means or fall prey to easy credit. You got to watch out for the guy that says, credit, forget it. We got it, you get it. There was a furniture store in Detroit that actually used that as one of their advertising slogans. But tactics like that can cause a financial crisis. If we do get behind in our finances, what's wrong with or what advice is giving for mooching off our friends or family? Well, we're counseled in Ephesians 4:28 to let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In other words, instead of taking from others, find a job. Doing with your might what your hands find to do, as unto the Lord. Again, that he may provide for the necessities of your household. Our Father knows what our needs are, both spiritual and temporal. It goes along with our manna this morning. The best counsel to follow in regard to our finances is found in 1 Corinthians 16:2, that we should lay by in store, that we may have to give in need. 1 Timothy 6:19 reads, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Being economical, frugal, and providing for our needs and for others needing assistance, both spiritual and temporal, are what we are counseled to do. That brings us to another issue, contentment. What a blessing comes to us with a true appreciation of the Lord's counsel from 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The combination of godliness and contentment is necessary to our peace and spiritual prosperity. However, as much godliness the discontented may have or seek to have, they cannot have true happiness. And likewise, however content they may be, in ungodliness, they are certainly losing a great deal in not having godliness. Godliness with contentment does not mean indifference to our condition and welfare, either spiritual or temporal. We're to be ambitious, especially in spiritual things and in the use of our talent in the Lord's service. But while spending every bit of energy in serving the Lord, we may be content with the blessing the Lord is pleased to give us, so we may continually be thankful as to how the Lord has led us. Contentment. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. No counsel of the Lord could be more important today than this. We're living in a time when more and more the whole world of mankind is growing discontented, as well as losing godliness. We need to cultivate these qualities, not only in ourselves, but also as counselors and examples to others. Contentment was what removed all that discouragement that I had with my job. It was that 2x4 that hit me on the side of the head when Brother Perry said, well, maybe the Lord doesn't want you to like your job. And from that point forward, again, we just changed our frame of mind and appreciated the lesson. All the divine counsel the Lord has provided for us in his word is useless if we're not humble, meek, and teachable. Pride of heart will bar us from the kingdom. Pride is the acronym for pride results in destruction eternally. The Lord instructs us as to the attitude of heart necessary if we're to receive and profit by his counsel. He says in Psalms 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Yet pride can affect all of us. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit will fall. Proverbs 16:18. Brother Russell says, if you find a humble one with ability, encourage him in its exercise. But if he's not humble-minded, don't encourage him, even if he has the ability, for the higher you push him, the greater he will fall. That's in the reprint 16:29. Another good piece of advice is found in Psalms 39:1. I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle, while the wicked is before me. How many experiences could have been spared by complying with this good bit of advice? Our lips express what's in our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Whoever guards his tongue will find that the easiest and best way to do it is to fill their heart with love. Then the good thoughts will leave no room for the bitterness, slander, malice, hatred, or strife, which will destroy our character and destroy our new creature. It reminds me of the chips and the apples. Remember that, you know, you got to get the apples. You got to get the chips out of the bushel in order for the apples to put the apples in it. Another issue we deal with and have been given divine counsel for along the lines of our tongue is found in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Brother Russell says for us in reprint 23:25 that this text is excellent advice. It's good policy for anyone, Christian or worldly, to learn to give soft answers, even under anger-provoking conditions. He mentions that businesses make this a matter of policy. It means sales, profits, wealth. And to ignore this rule in business is considered foolish. Any other answer than a soft answer is incompatible with the Holy Spirit of love, with its meekness, gentleness, patience, and brotherly kindness. If the truth needs to be spoken, and if presented under severe circumstances, it needs to be stated as softly as possible. This evidently is the thought of the apostle when he recommends speaking the truth in love. This advice is nowhere more needed than in the home. Each unkind word is a testimony in opposition to our profession to be the Lord's people and to be begotten of his Spirit. Put away all these, anger, malice, hatred, and strife. End of quote. Another counsel of the Lord, sometimes overlooked, is to be not forgotten to entertain strangers, for some thereby have entertained angels unaware, found in Hebrews 13:2. In times past, the spirit beings on numerous occasions presented themselves in human form to deliver messages. However, the Lord today uses his people in the flesh as messengers. Yet it's still true that all who have the Lord's Spirit should be hospitable, especially toward any whom they have reason to believe are fellow servants in the Lord. Likewise, all who are entertained as the Lord's servants should be extremely careful that as ambassadors for God, that their influence, wherever they go, is good and a blessing to others. Our Father counsels us on the importance of our fellowship amongst our brethren in 1 John 4:20. We're told that he who loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Any lack of fellowship with any who love the Lord and are consecrated to him should be considered a sure sign of spiritual decline. Our hearts must be brought back to a condition where we have an assurance that we have passed from death unto life. How? Well, in 1 John 3:14-16, we find that. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Along the lines of fellowship, our heavenly counsel instructs us in Hebrews 10:25, not to forget the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as ye see the day dawning. The meek who receive this counsel will seek as far as possible to make use of all means the Lord provides. All fellowship of those who have the mind of Christ look for it. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is in any heart, it will look for fellowship in others of like spirit. Therefore, if our own hearts are in the right condition, we will proportionally desire fellowship with our Lord. Where do you turn when you need help in time of need? Well, our Heavenly Father counsels us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, where it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." How often would this good counsel of the Lord, if remembered, bring a blessing and a relief from the attacks of the adversary, who would love to lead us to believe that our unavoidable weaknesses and imperfections are proof that we're not of the Lord. His counsel, however, gives us the strength that we need in combating the world, the flesh, and the adversary. It leads us in the moment of temptation to lift our hearts in prayer to the Lord for grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. The Lord wants us to learn the lesson of our own weaknesses and imperfection, and to learn to go to him for that strength and help. Not before we need it, but in time of need, in every time of trouble. How many of us have failed to apply the divine counsel that assures us that if rightly exercised by it, tribulation worketh a hope, which will not be put to shame because of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by these experiences. If we keep this counsel in the forefront of our mind, it will be much easier to endure tribulation. It would not only set aside fear, but quickly bring about a growth in grace. This counsel is found in Romans 5:1-5, which reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." The greatest comfort and peace that we found in our Heavenly Father's counsel comes to us in his promise that all things work together for good to them that love God, to the called ones, according to his purpose, found in Romans 8:28. We that love God and are called according to his purpose and pay attention to this counsel know that the all things include the trials, difficulties, and temptations of this narrow way that we consecrated to walk in. The good that will be worked out will be in the chiseling and polishing of our characters so that we may attain the likeness of Christ. We will be perfected in the glory, honor, and immortality promised by the Lord to his faithful. This text in Romans 8:28 has been my favorite. It puts everything in perspective, a good perspective, and is supported by all the other exceedingly great and precious promises. But it was really put to the test recently, the extreme test, at the near loss of Sister Sally. This test was in the all things, and it's just like Brother Freeman used to say, what part of all things don't we understand? But in our case, it was how much of all things that we placed in complete trust in our Lord. Trust in that whatever the outcome is a good thing. And that's so important that we pray for the Lord's will, because, you know, we've heard there have been prayers for things of self-will, and they regretted later that they were prayed for. So it's so important to pray for the Father's will. We've said many times that we need to die to make our calling and election sure. That is our goal. So when we die if faithful, our next moment will be with our Lord. It's been the goal of our whole consecrated life. Our new creature doesn't fear it. It yearns for it. Is that Sister Molly? Waiting minute by minute. It may be easy to accept that for ourselves, but when someone tells you that your loved one will not make it through the night, it puts the all good to a test. You're one-on-one with our Heavenly Father, praying very carefully for his will to be done and not ours. When we felt a calm come over us, we didn't know if Sister Sally made her change, where our Heavenly Father saw that she would make it through the night and be kept for us to continue to help us in our walk in this narrow way. It took another 3 hours before we saw her heading back to the ICU on a gurney, and we realized the result of our and your prayers, because I am convinced now that the outcome wouldn't have been as good as it ended up to be without all your prayers, all the prayers of our brethren. And we appreciate that very, very much. We found out that the next day, that about the same time that we felt this calmness, and the reason I know the time is that it was like somebody flipped the switch. And I thought, this is strange. What's happening? And I looked, and it was 12:35 in the morning. But we found that later the next day that it was at about that time that they started this procedure. And it was as though at that time he was saying, I got this under control. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If you put your trust in me, and you truly believe that all things will come to good, then believe it. Then believe it. And so it was a wonderful lesson. Well, we've shared about 15 or so scriptures of our Father's counsel. Yet, if we had more time, we could have no doubt found hundreds more from our divine counselor, and find them full of wisdom and blessings to us. Yet the blessings would not be in simply knowing of his counsel, but in proportion as we obey it and do the Father's will. The Lord's counsel, as the apostle confirms, is summed up in one word: love. Love to God and to our brethren. All the meekness that he instructs us to have, all the patience, together with all the experiences in life he permits, are designed to cultivate and to develop in us the spirit of love, which, as our counselor says in Colossians 3:14, is the bond of perfectness or completeness, because love is the only condition of the heart acceptable to God. Our conduct in life is to be regulated in harmony with the Lord's character and will, as counseled by his word. Our goal is to have these good qualities come from within our heart. Remember, perfect love is not received instantly, but the result of our experiences and obedience to our Father's counsel. However, to whatever degree we succeed in cultivating the spirit of love, it depends on our zeal and obedience to our fatherly counsel. But this love and zeal that in the beginning may have simply brought us to the Lord for help and safety will hopefully get us to the point of development that we cry out to our Lord, "O Lord, I delight to do thy will. Gladly will I toil and suffer, or bear thy reproaches and serve thy people, if I may know that I am pleasing and acceptable to thee." This love and zeal must continue with us all the way down to the end of our earthly course, and continue to expect to have testings and trials along the way to prove how deep and how sincere the spirit of love is within us. Where the good seed of the divine truth has fallen into an honest heart, it will grow. It will thrive on trials and disappointments. Against all opposition, it will bring forth in life a fruitage of good works, of service for the Lord and his people. Our Father knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what will please him. He knows how to direct us in his way. His word of counsel is sufficient. The Apostle Paul quoted our Lord in 2 Corinthians 12:9, where he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But then he continues saying, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We're to walk by faith and not by sight. The Lord's grace is sufficient for us. The results promised are a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. If the trial is sharper and more intense, it will only be for a moment. It's just as the Apostle Paul says, that light afflictions are but for a moment, but work out for us a better hope. We used to have a saying that it only hurts for a little while. And isn't that true for all of us? It's once we get through that, and once we recognize the good, once we recognize how Romans 8:28 has revealed itself to us, then we can rejoice again. Our attitude must be knowing that if our trials and experiences bring us closer to making our calling and election sure, then bring them on. Again, that's why we're here. That's why we're living this life in this human body, is so that we can make it on the other side. That's our goal. That's our objective. And if it takes these trials and experiences, then bring them on, because they're going to be good for us. It's going to get us to our goal. All the faithful now, tested by severe trials, will be made like our Lord and share his glory. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. And then in 2 Peter 1:3-4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye, that's us brethren, might be partakers of the divine nature. Our divine counselor's spirit is the spirit of holiness, the spirit of love. And it must dwell in our heart. All who put themselves completely under the Lord's supervision and resign their wills entirely to his will can be assured that we will afterward be received in glory. And we mentioned earlier how Brother Don, during our experience, drew our attention to our Father's counsel. And then when Brother Perry just simply said, well, maybe the Lord doesn't want you to like your job. These were two of many experiences since then that made us realize how much we need each other. To help each draw attention to our Heavenly Father's counsel and to provide the divine wisdom necessary for us to benefit from our experiences. No one on this planet can share God's divine wisdom, our fatherly counsel, with us than our brethren. No one can appreciate the mind of Christ than one begotten of the Holy Spirit. No one but a new creature in Christ can assist us in this narrow way. No one knows what we're going through. No one knows what our goals are. No one understands that heavenly counsel and how important it is for us in the development of that new creature. You won't get it from your neighbor. Well, unless, of course, you live at the BSRC, where all your neighbors are in harmony and like-minded, so give it a shot. Try it out. And what a blessing that is. Okay, enough for the commercial. Sponsored by. Next to our Heavenly Father, our Lord, and our guardian angels, our spouses, those are the closest to us, followed by the support of all of you, our brethren. Our recent experiences helped us realize that need for each other, the value of praying for each other, the value of sharing our experiences to foster our faith and to give us strength. We received from our brethren a tremendous amount of strength and encouragement through our Heavenly Father's counsel and the many exceedingly great and precious promises shared with us. And we were especially encouraged to see which of those promises were important to those that sent them. Everyone has a different precious promise that they recognize to be a help for them. So when you read that, you think of that individual. And it just gave us more insight and depth into the individual, our fellow brother in Christ. Well, dear brethren, I see we're running out of time. Let us remember always to look to God's word for our heavenly counsel, our fatherly counsel, and to assist our brother that are looking for the same. If our faith is true and acceptable, we will take him at his word, and our lives will be all sunshine in the sweetness of our Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing.